Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
Word You Cannot Say, sung and played by Shout Even Shy. The song's it's from a poem I wrote. I said it, Deb. Well, welcome my friends to the show where we pretend to be someone we're not. I'm Jay Hatter, your host for the evening. You have entered the man cave. Along with me is co-host Steven 76. How are you, Steven?
Doing all right. How you doing, Hatter?
Yeah, I'm okay. Also, we have Deborah Lee. She sits in the back, does all the heavy lifting, so we can sit down here and look pretty. Thank you, Deborah.
My pleasure.
I usually talk to you before the show, but I didn't today. It seemed something was missing.
Tried all day.
Did you really? Okay. There I go, because I slept all day. I slept all day. I hit the wall. Been having trouble sleeping, and I hit the wall and slept most of the day. The week of Halloween. Usually go a little nuts with Halloween and do a lot of crazy shit, try to scare kids, but don't have that facility anymore. So we have to do it here. I think if anybody's heard of multi-dimensions, a lot of the the quantum theorists, the head scientists in the world are coming to the conclusion that it is real. And there is some evidence of crossover where it crosses over or you can enter the doorway to another time, come back out somehow. I don't think I want to do that. But there are a lot of evidence to it. I'll go over some stories later about that. It's sort of weird, especially when there's no evidence to it. In fact, it wasn't uncommon to have those stories throughout history, but they were ignored. They were thought of dreams or you're crazy, you know, whatever. But so none of it was documented. But certain people have gone through research some of the history of countries and towns that do remember. Some of the stories are quite more present, you know, recently, which gives it a little more weirdness to it.
It brings to mind.
Go ahead.
I just said that kind of brings to mind Roanoke. Maybe that's what happened to them all.
Roanoke, share that. What happened to Roanoke?
That was a colony, when America was first starting, and they were there one day, and the next day they just disappeared and never heard from again. Nobody knows what happened. There's no sign of any struggle or anything. All the houses were just abandoned, and that was it.
Wow. Roanoke. Where is that exactly? Is that 15 colonies area?
I think it's in Virginia. I'll have to look it up.
Huh. Wonder if they celebrate that every year.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Probably not.
But, yeah. I was going over some of the stories that have been documented, and one fairly recent. This lady woke up in the morning. Her husband was in bed, still sleeping. She went to her phone and found a text. She read the text, and it was from her husband. And he said he was the regular type of hello, are you there type thing. So she said, you know, who is this? Because she sees her husband lying in bed. And he said, well, why are you asking me this? Because it's his wife. She says she didn't believe him. And how did you get this text? And why are you under a contact name in my phone? And he again, same way was questioning why she's asking these questions. She said, like, well, who the hell are you? And she didn't want to give her street address out, so she said, well, where are you? Or he asked, where are you? So she gives the town. He says that's the town he's in. Through the conversation, the next text, he says that he lives on Violet Street, which is the street she lives on. She looks over, her husband's still in bed, and the phone is next to him. In questioning, he doesn't remember putting her in his phone, the guy that's on the phone, but it's her name with a little heart after it. He doesn't remember ever putting that in. She's questioning this whole thing, thinking this is just too weird. The next day, she shares the story with her husband, so she looks at the phone for the texts, and it was just her text. His was not there. I couldn't figure out. Yeah. That's sort of weird. Interdimensional crossings. What can it do to you, you know? Halloween, the best time to, you know, I always say, and I'll say it every year, they give you one day or a couple of days a year to scare kids. Embrace that. It's legal to scare the hell out of kids. Do it. You do it any other time, you'll probably get in trouble. But you can do it because it's Halloween. That was my story.
I just looked it up. Yeah. Just to let you know, the Roanoke colony was in North Carolina.
Okay. It's just below Virginia, isn't it?
Yep.
Well, cool. Yeah, some of the, and like you said, some of those stories were just sort of shunned as, that's just a tale, fairy tale, whatever, thinking you're crazy. So a lot of these stories were told, just wasn't documented. You have to go into the to the archives of every town to find anything mentioned, things like this, I guess. But I think the weird one, there was a guy, a gentleman in Japan, went to the airport, handed his passport to the officials. They're questioning it because they have seen countries and cities they don't recognize, they've never heard before. And they ask, where are you from? He states a name of a country that doesn't exist to them. So they get suspicious. So they hold this guy. They put him in the hotel room with an armed guard outside the door to investigate. They had him on the globe or on a map point out where that country was. And he points to some country in the mid, like in Asia, Western Asia, sort of Eastern Europe, and which was on the map was a totally different name. So they put him in the guarded room trying to find out who the hell this guy is, because they're thinking a spy or somebody. The next morning, he's gone. There's no way out of this seven-story building. The guy's gone, yeah. That's it.
I know exactly what happened to him.
What happened?
In the movie Star Trek IV, if anybody remembers, when they go back in time, Chekhov gets caught, and he's being questioned, but then, you know, he disappears because he gets transported out.
It's Chekhov. That explains it. Yeah. You know, and what's to say that can't happen? And what would the person, when he realizes that he's jumped time, if you go ahead in time, that would be a little harder. But if you go back in time, you could pretty much disguise yourself. The giveaway is the clothes you're wearing. You know.
Yeah.
And like I say, this guy's passport just see. They thought he was a spy. They thought it was a hoax. So they went back. They're going to question this guy again the next day, and he just disappeared. I'll explain that. Yeah. Chekhov. They beamed him up.
Yep.
That's the story. We're going to stick to it. You know, how much of the fairy, not fairy tale, but the strange tales in history does movies add into their scripts? Like that one with Chekhov. You know, maybe they say, hey, the Roanoke thing, let's throw that in there.
Yeah, that could be.
Roddenberry was a genius.
He was. Definitely was. She made me think of a joke that you could play. I don't know if I ever told you about it, but if you go into, you got to go into a grocery store or something, someplace where they don't know who you are, someplace you never shopped before, go to the service desk and ask the person at the counter, what year is it? And then when they tell you, run out of the store yelling, it worked!
Oh, my God. Just look at him. Oh, my God. It worked. You know, yeah, be dressed in 40s clothes or something. That would be funny. Yeah, you can film that. I wonder if anybody's ever tried that.
I don't know.
I mean, what you're doing is you're giving a couple people, maybe just one, that will share a story he'll tell the rest of his life. Well, this dude walked in, man. he's wearing like a great uncle's clothes. Well, that's weird. Time jumping. They say you can go ahead, but you can't go back. If you can go back, you're not coming back. You won't be able to jump back. So yeah, that's what they say. Who knows what they know?
If you go back,
time machine. The technology has to be there when you get there. If it doesn't, you got to wait for it to get back.
True. That makes sense. But if you're in the time machine, say it's like H.G. Wells, then it's coming with you.
Well, if that's the time, yeah, well, they were basically talking about the machine you don't take with you. It's just going to transport your molecules through space and time. Yeah, but if you could take the machine, sure. Where are you going to park that thing?
True. or if you're in a starship slingshotting around the sun, you know, then you still have your starship.
That's right. That's how it's happened. That's how it happens. You know, the phenomenon of leaving our Earth, traveling light speed, coming back 20 minutes later, finding out that, you know, years have passed, is a strange thing to even, you can say it, you can go, okay, I understand it. No, you don't. You don't understand it. You just remember what he said. It'd be hard to really realize. And that's another thing. Everybody in our, in science and everything we've been taught, everything we know is because of our physics and science that we have on this planet, on this plane, on this earth, in this time and space. Who knows what's out there? Time and space can change. You go somewhere where you could jump through time and space back and forth, and we do it all the time. Society, you know, however that works, that stuff we can't even think of could be actually true, could be out there. Because we are stuck in a certain plane of existence that we can, we're still discovering what it is and how to deal with it. But that's all we know. We don't know anything else. And that's a very good possibility. In fact, it's a probability. It's a probability. Yeah.
So, maybe
what's that?
I was just going to say, I've been watching this this show that they canceled. I used to watch it on regular TV, but Hulu revised it, so they're doing another season, a show called The Orville, where it's kind of like Star Trek, but it's also a comedy. The guy who created Family Guy created
Love
this.
It.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a great show. But they just actually played on that with the time travel bit in the last episode I watched. And they don't have warp speed in the show. They have a quantum drive, which actually puts like a shield around the ship to kind of like freeze time so it can move to places very fast because time is not really moving with them. And that's how they ended up coming back to the future, is they didn't put the shield up. That shields them from time so they could shoot back into the future after they had to go to the past. Pretty cool idea, I thought.
You know, I've always been fascinated with quantum physics and time, you know, Einstein's theories. I wish I would have had this questions or wanting to know earlier in life, but it is what it is. And I will always say how you can travel, like what they see in the atmosphere, the UFOs. Some of them are going just breakneck speed, but can turn on 90 degrees without, you know, no damage. If the human was in there, we would be plastered against the wall. It wouldn't work. But I concluded years ago, I said, okay, what the heat itself would disintegrate anybody inside. So I figured what can travel and cause no heat? Because there's always anything in this atmosphere that moves causes heat through the air, except one. A bubble from the bottom of a body of water rising, that's traveling, and I don't believe there's any heat involved because it's in the swim. So you take a spacecraft, you put it in a bubble, and put an inert gas around it, counteracts gravity and space, the network. With the being in another atmosphere is what the thought is. You're in another atmosphere that you are no longer bound by the physics of our atmosphere here on Earth, which there are limits to. And I wrote a whole paper, a short story on it. I mean, I called it Numbers. And years later, they're saying, like you said, they're writing things with a bubble. And just go, yeah, I was right. They should have listened to me. Could have been president. But yeah, I've always been fascinated with that stuff. What was the most elaborate costume you ever put on at Halloween when you were a kid? Do you remember, or did you?
When I was a kid, my mother usually made my costumes, so
okay.
She was the one who did all the elaboration, like the hobo, when I would go as a hobo or whatever.
Okay.
I always wanted to get those cheap plastic ones with the plastic mask, but they would never let me do that. So they would. But if I wanted to go elaborate, one time when I was older at a Halloween party, I dressed up as Sylvester Stallone as his character from Lords of the Flatbush.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Who else was in that? There was a lot of. Was James MacArthur in that? And Dano. And
I think so. Let me.
And Blue King. Boy wasn't Blue Boy. What was it? I think I remember. Yeah, there was a ton of stars that were in that. If I remember right.
Yeah.
With me, Most Elaborate, I dressed up. It was after I grew up. We had Stacey, my ex-wife and I, we were totally into Halloween. We spent thousands of dollars through the years for the house, making the house a haunted house and doing everything for the kids. And I embraced it. Every year got scarier and scarier. Stacey had run across a garage sale where this lady was selling these costumes out of her garage. And she grabs me, because it was before cell phones, grabbed me and we went back over there and talked to her. She was the seamstress for the Sac State College for the drama department. She made these elaborate costumes, Egyptian to Renaissance, you name it, she had it, a lot of Egyptian stuff. And so we were able to purchase very cheap some elaborate costumes, garb, that you could wear. I miss having that.
Yeah.
Every year you could just dress up. Once in a while, I just dress up like I would play video games. She'd come up and just shake her head and go, "God, I'm married. I've got three boys, not two." I just go, "It's Halloween, man. It's Halloween." We got the. I remember one year we had to. The first time we used a fog machine. We bought one and we rented one. The big one that we rented was outside. The other one we put upstairs. Well, we had a two-story house that the top had had French doors leading out to this little balcony that faced the street, and you could go out one bedroom, go to across the deck there, and into the other room. That's the way we built it. Now the deck that was out there, the little walkway, I covered in sheets and put black lights to where it was sort of cool looking, especially from the outside. But we started that fog machine, and it wasn't an hour later we had the fire department showing up. This fog machine was just oozing out of the cracks of the sheets, just all this smoke. It was fire department one year. So every year we had to tell them, "We're doing a spook house. We got fog machines, so don't come if you get a call." But scary kids. Got the, like I said, I did one where the sheriff did knock on my door. Somebody fell into the end of the wet lawn because I made sure that they couldn't escape through the yard because I would flood it. Bad idea. When teenagers get scared, they scatter. And I think that's what the complaint was about. He thought it was really cool. So he was just saying, "Look, man, simmer it down, bring it down a notch." Okay. Sorry. The time thing, I am fascinated with it. I don't know if that's even possible. I guess Einstein's theory says it is possible. But you would have to do it on a light year travel stage. You would have to do it that way. I don't think you can build a time machine where you can just walk into a room, jump in, push a button, and go back in time. I think you'd have to travel there. And it's, I don't know. It's hard to absorb the Einstein's theory sometimes. With the light year and the time space, fabric of space, and that's scary. What puzzles me is the super collider in Geneva that they built.
Oh.
Yeah, CERN.
Yeah.
Now
we're gonna make a little black hole.
A little black hole to see the what happened at the Big Bang. Now you're messing with the fabric of space. I don't care how small you're doing it. You can create a rip. and tear in the space and time. Now, these scientists know the possibility of that, but they did it anyway. And the thing is, they spent like 20 years building this thing. They fired it up for a week, and then shut it down, and it hasn't worked since. They haven't fired it up since. They're still looking at all the data. And that being that they don't use it anymore, there are people suggesting that they messed up, man. Something
that's possible. Yeah. Maybe they got a Morlock in there.
You know, yeah. Yeah, I mean, whatever they did, I hope they planned on containing it, not just letting it go free. You don't know what the hell it is. And like I said, the probability or the possibility is there. That can't be. They're not dumb. These are scientists. But somehow they thought that wasn't a threat. There were other people who said, the hell it isn't. You're messing with the fabric of space. You tear it. It could just be what an atom bomb is. It's a cascade of violent effect in our atmosphere.
Yeah.
So.
There's actually Kay and I have been watching that show, Young Sheldon, and there was actually an episode where Sheldon's professor got a job at a super collider, but he got fired like a few episodes later because when they interviewed him about it, and they said, well, what could happen? And he said, well, it could create a black hole and it'll just swallow the earth.
Hey, you're fine. You're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like, what government gave permission to do that? Say, well, what are you doing? I don't think so. I don't think, you know, somebody says, I don't think you're going to do that. No. I mean, what are you going to learn? What are you really going to learn? The creation of existence. Okay. That's sort of a redundant thing. We know we're here.
Yeah. Pretty sure.
I don't know. But that thing is remarkable. If you look at how it was built and what it is, it's underground. It's, I don't know how many 40-something miles that they with magnets, they get these molecules, these atoms rushing around just under the light speed, and then have them collide.
Yeah.
Yeah, because one going just under the speed of light, the other one going just under the speed of light, when they collide, it's more than the speed of light.
Yeah.
The collision. So I don't know. I did have, hey, Deborah, you there?
I am.
Yeah. I dropped it when you said that. What would I, was the dog have something or the cat? Didn't you yell drop it?
Huh?
Maybe. Never mind. Did you get that that thing uploaded by chance?
Of course.
You're so good. What I did was I recorded some of the sounds space objects make, which is sort of weird. NASA has always put listening devices on every spacecraft to see what they could hear. Now, radio waves don't travel through a vacuum. So they got to be close to this space object to really to convert it to something that we can understand to hear. So I don't know that process completely. Some of it, the Cassini and the Hubble, I don't know which one. Maybe it was the Voyager before it left the solar system. Had recorded the collision of two black holes. And that was the event that we were able to see one, if you remember. From T86 or something was the name of it. So I recorded some of the sounds that are in the that NASA has recorded. And I have a list here. What's being played, I will tell you what sound is what. Let me find the paper here.
Like, play it low enough so you can talk as well.
Okay, I appreciate that. Okay, I got it. So you can go ahead and play
it. Here it comes.
The first thing you're going to hear is the sun. This will be the sun when it starts. And the second sound they bring up is going to be the Earth from space. It, probably the credits are still running. The storyline's just running through the video. So the first one hasn't played yet. That's telling us it's the sun. There it is. Turn it up a little, Deb. Leave that. I believe we're at Jupiter there.
It sounds like 50s sci-fi effects,
doesn't it? Oh, I'm lost. I don't know what sound it is. One of them is going to be Saturn, and then Saturn's moons. Come on.
That was all of them, Hatter.
Oh, did it? What, I didn't hear that start.
All right, let me start it over again, and now that we know that there's multiple sounds, we'll just listen. I'll push play again.
Okay, let me go over the list. You're going to hear the sun, the Earth, then Mars, then Jupiter. Now, Jupiter's going to be louder than the rest, then Saturn also loud, then Saturn's moon. Then we're going to hear interstellar space, what it sounds like. We know that it smells like cotton candy and burnt and sulfur, gunpowder. Is what it smells like. The interstellar space. The last one we're going to hear is the collision of the two black holes. Okay, go ahead. It's running the code. The last one was the collision of the black holes. The one before was the interstellar space. But
Heather,
were they synthesized
or recorded from somewhere?
they recorded as they passed the planets. Now, the interstellar space, they just opened the mic to empty space and found it. The collision of the black holes, now that's a far distance, so I don't know how they did that. What they did was record it, then convert it.
Like,
they recorded what they called it, then converted it to a sound that we can hear. So in actuality, that would be what we hear each planet. And what a diverse sound. The beginning of the sun was
like,
more of a symphony.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Like recorded it from a satellite and bounced it back to NASA or something?
Yeah, yeah. They recorded it, and then I don't think they converted it after they got it here, and NASA somehow converted it to a sound that we're able to hear. So in actuality, it would be, yeah, isn't it? And the moons that would go whoop, whoop. I mean, what makes the sound? They don't know. You know, everything's different. There's some, I've listened to recordings of different things that they've, some of the sounds are just terrifying. It sounds like something's coming for you. I think the sounds in our solar system seems to be a little more tame, but that's just strange. What makes the sound? I don't understand. I mean, is it magnetic fields that break the vacuum of space or fills the vacuum of space? I don't know.
That's a good question, because I've always heard that, you know, there is no sound in space. Like if a spaceship actually blew up, there would be no sound. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right, because sound doesn't travel through vacuum. Sound waves travel through an atmosphere. That's how we can hear things. I don't know what it, now most of our technology now is considered, we use the radio waves. That's when we could go deeper into space and see, and also I guess hear. I don't know how they do that. I'm gonna have to check that out. I love that stuff. Should have been a scientist.
Yeah. What about subspace? Isn't that what they use in like some of the sci-fi when it comes to communication across space? They use the subspace. Is that maybe where it's at?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like it's very similar to underwater. The whale sounds, some of them.
Yeah.
So it's a different, you know, sound travel is different underwater too also.
Yes.
I don't know. And then there's the phenomenon or the evidence of dark matter. Oh my God. Dark matter. The thing that fills 89 or 90% of all space as we know it is dark matter. We don't know what it is. Reach your hand out and grab something and say, that's it. Can't hold it, can't touch it.
It's like the brains of some of the people I know.
yeah. Same thing. Let's see. We got about 15 more minutes. We got to play on Halloween. Do we have any Halloween songs? Don't we have Warren Zevon? Halloween. Yeah, Werewolves of London.
I was going to say, I don't know if we have Werewolves of London. I'm looking. But if you look at the top under all those ones that say all, there's thunder and noises and all kinds of stuff. Probably while you're sitting there.
Oh, yeah. Let me heat up the Hammond, my keyboard. Takes a while. Hammond keyboards are it, man. They have that horn that goes around. That's how they get that sound. John Lennon was always used a Hammond, as did Keith Emerson, Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Hello.
There's one that's just hatter. Oh, it's got a, maybe it's under hatter. Here it is. Elvis, happy birthday. Gone.
Can't help but to, when I hear Warren Zevon, Werewolves in London, I automatically think of the movie Color of Money.
What movie?
Color of Money.
Oh. Yeah. There it is.
Come on, Phillies.
I don't see my file anymore. There it is. There's one of those that's just spooky as hell.
Yeah.
Dragons, dudes. Yeah, I don't. Warren Zevon. The Werewolves of London. I don't see it either. I should have checked that. Monster Mash, another one. And I'm at the M's. I don't see that either. We must have taken them out, Deb. That's all right. If you could go any time, Stephen, 76, where would you go if you had to go back?
Oh. That's a good one.
You know,
not
it's
sure.
a place to visit or a place to live, you know, if you wanted to stay. That'd be two different answers, I guess.
Question, though, because I'm a big fan of not screwing with the time.
The what? Say it again.
I'm a big fan of not screwing with the timeline, because God knows what would have happened in the future if you decide to go back and mess around.
You could go back and put your money in stock in McDonald's or something, or AT&T.
Yeah.
So you'd probably be okay. I just wonder, how did you know?
Yeah.
I remember a Twilight Zone or an Outer Limits where Clint Howard.
Yeah.
Ron Howard's brother, sort of a weird-looking dude, always played alien, yeah. He's a little kid, and he can foresee the future. What the hell is that? Oh, boy. Oh, sorry, man. Should they eat that? Okay.
Had stuff at Wendy's for some chili earlier. Oh my God!
I'll put that in there.
That was Andre the Giant.
They told me that was the dog.
Somebody decided they needed it. I guess it's one of the sounds.
Lemonizer!
There it is.
Yeah.
I can't remember why we were talking about it, but Kay had read a fact about the movie The Princess Bride. And it said that when it was at one point where they weren't shooting, but Andre the Giant let out a fart that lasted 16 seconds. And when he was when he was done, the director asked him, "Are you okay?" And he said, "I am now, boss."
Andre the Giant. That was a big dude. I can imagine. You know, I know Mel Brooks. He went up to the actor in Blazing Saddles. I can't remember his name. He's always a Texan. He's got a wide mouth, sort of a round face, smiles all the time. He was a guy that dressed in black and Blazing Saddles, one of the main characters. Mel Brooks went up to him and he goes, "I'm going to make you famous." He goes, "What? I'm going to make you famous, man." The first guy to fart on TV. Movie.
Yeah.
So he was the first one. And he goes, I don't know if I want to do that, because he was basically a fireman who got into the movies and got some parts, made some money. But basically he was always a fireman, always went back home. And he goes, "I don't know if I want to do that." And Mel Brooks kind of talked him into it. And he goes, now I'm famous. I'm famous. He goes out as the first recorded fart on TV. And if you saw the guy, you'd know who I'm talking about. Well, Deb, I can't see that Warren G. Bond anywhere. So I should have checked. I thought we had it. There we go. You have one that it's a woman talking or something, whispering, that just freaks me out. You know, I hear it. Baby, get the baby. I'm thinking through this. Okay, question of the day. Have you ever witnessed or felt a ghost?
Have I ever witnessed a what?
A ghost, a spirit, a presence. A little bit of a haunted house.
Yes, I have.
You want to explain, or are you keeping that a secret?
No, I've talked about it before. It was, I don't know, sometime in the middle of the night, and I was supposed to be asleep, but I wasn't yet because I was watching Star Trek on my little 13-inch black and white, and I just happened to look to my left, and there was a woman sitting in the chair next to the bed, and she wasn't there before. And when she slowly turned her head towards me, I kind of slammed my eyes shut and tried to play dead, but I was twitching with fear. So I don't think she
bought it.
I won't put a chair next to the bed to this day. Never again.
To this day. When you open your eyes,
I can't say
down.
I blame you there.
So play a dead work.
But when I opened my eyes, she was gone. But boy, somebody had told me later.
That's creepy.
Owned a store across the street, had passed away in the house that we were living in, so it must have been her.
Oh wow.
She didn't seem mean or anything. She seemed like be watching Star Trek with me, I guess. But
yeah,
she could have had a
spell. Yeah.
Still.
Deborah, how about you?
What?
Ever see anything? Witness anything? Ever been in a haunted house? House that was haunted? Anything like that?
Yeah, a couple different things, I think. But then I've also been with a couple different people now as they died, and I could feel them leave, and it's really freaky. So, I don't want to even go there or I'll be crying. Before you close out, let me say that the schedule's a little bit mixed up week, but it's for all, good things. For example, We are off tomorrow because AP's in the bush somewhere, having a little bit of fun, a whole lot of fun, I hope. And on Monday, because on Monday in the United States, it's Tuesday in Australia, it is our annual special, the Melbourne Cup, and AP will be calling the race. And that's one of the things I was trying to reach Hatter for, and if he looked in his inbox now and then, he might know, but you got to get to the page and put your name down so that you get a horse, because once he runs out of horses, he can't pull the heir, so I wanted you to get your name on the list.
Yeah.
So I believe that it doesn't go off until 3 in the afternoon in Oz. That be the case, we would have to go live around 11 and do any poems and talk and whatnot ahead of time. And then at midnight our time, it's 3 o'clock in Oz, and AP will call the race for us. And there will be some prizes, obviously. 10,000 points for the win, 7,500 for place, 5,000 points for show, and then whomever strolls in dead last gets 2,500. So there's and practically as soon as the topic got put up, people started signing up, and there's a list going already. So it's going to be a fun time.
I think
and my show's moved to Tuesday, so we will do the creepy Halloween quotes and photos on Tuesday. So there's the next few days, and let's have Stephen tell us what's happening at A Poetic Slice while Hatter runs. I'm putting the Melbourne Cup on the chat wall right now, and if you click on it, put your name on the line. That way you're sure you're going to get a horse. And, Stephen?
It's okay. Our next show over at Poetic Slice is Storyboards with Sky tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern, and she's looking at the dark movie Pan's Labyrinth. She's wanting character rights, scene rights, quote rights. Come and geek out with Sky at 8 p.m. on Saturday. And then on Halloween night, the Mortuary of Shadows is on, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. It is our annual Rocky Horror Picture Show
show.
Yay. So it happens to be the third anniversary of Poetic Slice of Life. So we're going to celebrate on Monday.
Cool. Cool. Be there. Be square, huh? I remember the first Melbourne Stakes, Deborah, where I won. Number four horse won, but then was disqualified for running the horse wide down the last
turn. Yeah. I was also wondering, every year that AP's done this, Pretty Bird has won points for one thing or another. I had said to her today, are you going to win again this year?
Yeah, it's a big field. I didn't realize how big and international the Melbourne Stakes is. It's a pure money purse. And these guys are serious to go after it all over the world. They bring these horses in. I wonder how a horse flies. I mean, you stand them up in the storage, or how do you need a, you know, C5 Hercules military transport for that? How many horses do you bring? Good question.
There's 24 in the race, and I think that their catchphrase is really, really cool. It's the race that stops the nation, because everything apparently shuts down in Oz that day. But I'll let AP share all those juicy tidbits and stuff that he does when he does the show up until it's time for the live race. But, yeah, the race that stops the nation, so... No.
Yeah.
It's like
before cable or satellite on Sunday at 1 o'clock, beginning of all Wild Motor Sports. our country basically shut down.
But we don't need the wide world, of course. We can just listen to AP. He does a really good job at it. I told him he should add it to his list of things that he can do, like palindromes, that evil stuff, you know, and running the world.
Yeah, you know, since he travels all over the world, I've been bugging him to, you need a chauffeur. I'm a professional chauffeur. Fly me down, put me on the payroll. I'll drive on the wrong side of the street. That's what's scary.
The thing is, the man knows how to drive.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He don't need
to. If I remember correctly, he even kind of likes driving, so I don't think he was a chauffeur. But I'm sure he wants you to just get your surgeries done so you can come hang out. Just saying.
You know, he bought a new car, knowing that I was coming down, that's sitting there waiting for me.
Like I remember him saying
like Yeah, it's like a Celica Supra Fastback. It's called an Aqua, I think it was, an Aqua 4. Cool-looking car.
Patter, you had asked earlier, how does a horse fly? I just looked for you.
Yeah. How does he fly? Do they fly him in on transport? They got to.
Oh, you got to. Got to check the chat. Check the chat wall out. I just put it on there.
Okay. I can do that. I think. Oh, shoot! There's the phone. Pause. Okay. That's exciting. That was fun. Melbourne Stakes. Invite everybody to show up. There you go. Anytime I go to the AP.com, allpoetry.com, give them these things. Oh, that's how they do it. Wings.
Yep.
Give them some Red Bull. Give them some Red Bull and let them go. Nice.
Red Bull.
Give them wings, right? All right.
So click
cool.
the link since you're there, Hatter, and get your name on that. Right above the horse.
Yeah,
I will be right there. Hey, I want to thank you, Stephen 76, for hanging out with me. Co-host, next week will be your turn, or next month, be your turn. We're here every last Friday of every month to hang out, talk about anything we want. Sort of cool.
Next one will be the day of giving, so we'll talk about. Well, since you've got all those sound clips in the studio, we could talk about turkey farts.
Yeah, we could. Do they? Okay, I just put my name on the bottom there. Okay, that goes. Oh, I'm on. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. You broke up, Deb.
Oh, sorry. They're going to extra innings. I was just getting excited.
Yeah. We're at the top of the hour. I want to thank everybody that's going to listen, come back, visit us, hang out with us. Number here. Well, you probably won't copy the number. Probably. Halloween in a couple of days. Everybody be safe. Enjoy it. Don't do anything dangerous like we used to do. And I'm going to go out with this, if it works.
Give and respect, everyone. Thanks, guys.
Why won't that work? Okay, there it goes. Thank you. Thank you, Deborah. All right, guys. We're just doing it with the bells. Stick together. It's always best. Got to be easy with you.
Thank you, Holly. Thank you, Stephen.
That's good. Did you hear that? I'll tell you what, we're going to just lower that. So I'll have to give it education in front of ACDC. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Deborah. And call it a night.
Thank Sounds you. Like a plan. These balls going into extra innings.
Yeah.
Go Phillies.
And Deborah, you and I are battling in fantasy football this week, so good luck. I saw your quarterback did okay, and we'll see. I'm playing Tua from Miami.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how he does.
Yep.
So good luck.
All right, I'll
play
tomorrow.
Yep.
Go Phillies. Some respect.
All righty. Bye-bye.